is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
How much money will climate change cost? This simple question is crucial in deciding what action needs to be taken. Take the Paris Climate Agreement, formed in 2015.
So what we do in these agreements is we set out these very specific targets. And when we do that, we really want to understand, okay, what are going to be the benefits of actually achieving these targets? And how do those compare to the costs?
This is Marshall Burke, a climate economist at Stanford University in the US. He's interested in how the costs of climate change stack up, depending on what our targets are. The Paris Agreement's target is to limit the world's warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, and to pursue efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. What's the impact of limiting warming to 1.5 versus 2 degrees? Well, Marshall has just published a study that estimates how the global economy would be affected by these different levels of temperature rise. But how do researchers get from a physical understanding of climate change to its impacts on goods and services around the world?
The way we do it in our study is we first use history as a laboratory. We use almost a half century of data on economic output from countries around the world. And we use these data to study how have countries responded historically to increases in warming. And what that allows us to do is then say, okay, moving forward, if we plan to experience 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming or 2 degrees Celsius, how will countries respond?
This approach avoids having to simulate how economic behavior responds to climate change. Instead, it looks to the past, using historical responses to temperature variations to infer what might happen in the future.
It's very clever. So the advantage of this method is it folds all goods and services into one number.
This is Max Alfhammer, an environmental economist at UC Berkeley, who wasn't involved in this study. Both Max and Marshall point out that despite the study's advantages, it has important limitations. For one, its historical approach can't account for unprecedented changes to the climate. Things that may happen in the future that the economy hasn't seen before. For example, if sea level rise floods coastal cities around the world. Max also points out that historical responses to various temperatures might not be indicative of what humans do in the future as the planet continues to warm. If humans come up with new ways to adapt, that could drive down the costs of climate change.
So trying to figure out what the consequences of adaptation are is really difficult. You need a crystal ball to figure out what technologies are by end of century. And as a card-carrying scientists, I just don't believe in crystal balls.
With these limitations in mind, then, does Marshall think that his model is likely to give an estimate of impacts that is too high or too low?
My gut instinct is that our numbers might be too low. Historically, we have not seen a lot of evidence of adaptation. On the other hand, climate change is going to bring a lot of things that we have not seen historically. Again, sea level rise probably being the best example. And these things are going to be really hard to deal with, and we're going to have to spend a lot of money to adapt to these things. So my gut feeling is that our numbers, as large as they are, could even be a lower bound on the overall damages.
So how large are we talking? What would be the difference between limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees versus 2 degrees?
So our main estimate is that by 2100, so by the end of this century, the world will be about 3-4% wealthier under the most ambitious target, the 1.5C target, as compared to the 2C target. That might not sound like much, but it represents about $20 trillion in cumulative benefits between now and the end of century.
$20 trillion. The extra 0.5 degrees of warming between 1.5 and 2 degrees might not sound like much, but studies like Marshall's suggest just how big an impact it could have on the world. But how do the costs of this extra 0.5 degrees of warming compare to the costs of preventing it?
Some scholars have estimated that it will cost an additional nearly $500 trillion to achieve the 1.5 degree target compared to the 2 degree target. So, by our calculations, the benefits of achieving these ambitious targets vastly outweigh the costs.
At the moment, though, the world isn't looking like it's heading towards either the 1.5 or the 2 degree target. Temperatures have already increased by about 1 degree, and even if every country sticks to its Paris climate pledges, our best guess is that the world will warm by about 3 degrees.
If we get 3 degrees by end of century, that's going to cost another 5% of global GDP. And in an unmitigated climate scenario world, so in a world in which we fail to mitigate at all, sort of a business as usual scenario, again, that's going to cost an additional 5 to 10% of GDP. So the consequences of not limiting warming start to stack up pretty dramatically.
And these are just the consequences that studies like this can capture. This study assesses how GDP may be affected by climate change. But GDP, gross domestic product, is just an assessment of a country's goods and services. And Max stresses that there are some impacts of climate change that GDP doesn't easily describe.
How do we put a dollar value on the increased incidence of conflict? How do we put a value on biodiversity? So if climate change wipes out species because their habitats get destroyed or changed, what's the value of that? That's, to me, the next frontier of the research in climate change impacts.
Any study that looks into the future will have limitations and uncertainties, and this paper is no exception. But it joins a body of literature showing that the costs of climate change dramatically outweigh the costs of halting it. In spite of the Paris Agreement, emissions are still rising and the world is still warming. And for Marshall, his own results are a serious cause for concern.
You know, I'm the dad of young kids, and this is the Earth they're going to inhabit in the future. And when we see what an unmitigated climate change scenario will do to economic output and to livelihoods around the world, I absolutely worry about that.
That was Marshall Burke, who's at Stanford University. And before him, Max Alfhammer, who's at the University of California, Berkeley, both in the US. You can read Marshall's study over at nature.com/nature. You'll also find a news and views forum where Max and another economist offer their differing views on Marshall's approach, plus a Nature editorial on the topic.